For WMRA News, I'm Matt Bingay. Yesterday was crossover day for the General Assembly. We'll look at what bills survived. Governor Spanberger considers legislation that would create a system of paid family and medical leave. Dominion Energy announces plans to build a new transmission line that would transmit from the Ohio River Valley to Culpeper. And lawmakers consider bills that could help address the high demands for homes in Virginia. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, February 18th. Yesterday was crossover at the General Assembly. It's a key legislative deadline in which bills that haven't passed can no longer be considered this session. And from partner station VPM, Jad Khalil reports on what's still in play.
Lawmakers have passed a number of affordability measures, although they've hesitated to advance bills that have a big price tag. The House of Delegates and the Senate will have to resolve differences or make compromises on bills by the end of session. Some of the last bills to clear the House and Senate before crossover include legislation legalizing collective bargaining for public employees, a retail market for cannabis, gun control measures, and bills restricting where federal immigration officers can operate. What didn't make it past the deadline? Attempts to reform Virginia's tax system. Those bills would have closed loopholes for sales taxes and adjusted decades-old income tax brackets. There's one big exception to the crossover rule: the budget. Each chamber will present its spending bill on Sunday. Jad Khalil, VPM News.
Governor Abigail Spanberger is about to consider legislation that would create a system of paid family and medical leave. Michael Pope has this report.
Senator Jennifer Boyce is a Democrat from Herndon who doesn't just think about paid family and medical leave from a policy perspective or even a political perspective. During a speech on the Senate floor this week, she explained the difficult circumstances of having a second child while her husband could not take extended time off work.
And so somehow I had to handle my toddler and somehow get to 20 miles away to where my daughter was in the hospital for 6 weeks while I was still sick with no family around.
That's why she introduced legislation to create a new insurance program that will take money out of paychecks in Virginia for a new system of paid family and medical leave. Republican Senate Minority Leader Ryan McDougal says this is not part of an affordability agenda.
This is a tax on employees. Make no mistake, they are going to have to pay this tax. The program indicates that it's going to cost about $1.4 billion a year. Well, that $1.4 billion doesn't come out of the air. It comes from two places. It comes from employees and employers.
The last time Democrats were in power a few years ago, they did not have the votes to make this happen. Now, Governor Abigail Spanberger says this is a top priority. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Virginia's Attorney General Jay Jones says he's serious about guardrails on kids' screen time. Jones announced on Monday that he plans to enforce a newly enacted Virginia law that limits young teens to 1 hour per app each day. Companies who fail to comply could be hit with a $7,500 civil penalty for each violation. Under the 2025 law, which took effect on January 1st, social media platforms are required to verify a user's age and automatically limit their use if they're younger than 16. According to a 2022 report from the state, Virginia's housing supply continues to run way below demand. That makes houses more expensive and out of reach for more Virginians each year. As the 2026 legislative session hits its midpoint, Brad Kuttner spoke to housing advocates to find out how bills that could positively impact supply are faring.
Laura Dobbs is with Housing Opportunities Made Equal. Top among her list is an effort that would make the construction of manufactured housing easier. The bill does take away local authority to deny such buildings, usually a third rail in Virginia politics, but Dobbs said there's a reason.
I think it speaks to looking at our existing zoning and just saying, like, okay, you can build a stick-built, you can build a manufactured one there, it's affordable, but it doesn't really touch zoning as much as some of these other ones.
That doesn't mean statewide zoning laws haven't fared better than expected as well. Sheila Herlihy-Hennessy is with the Virginia Interfaith Center, and she's advocated for years for legislation that would make it easier for faith communities to build homes on their land.
This aligns with the mission of a lot of faith communities, and it's good for our Commonwealth, which has such a huge shortage of affordable housing.
Ben Knotts with Americans for Prosperity pointed to a bill that would make it legal for almost anyone to build an accessory dwelling unit or ADU on their land, but that bill, like previous years, was watered down to be optional for localities. Still, Knotts is calling it a win.
I'm of the mindset, set up a framework and scale it, you know, and so we're making progress there. That's why I say it's not everything we want this session, but it's actual progress for the supply side.
Whether or not these bills survive the other chamber and then Governor Abigail Spanberger's signature remains to be seen. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Dominion Energy is planning the largest transmission line on its grid in partnership with two out-of-state utilities. It would move electricity from the Ohio River Valley to central and northern Virginia, where data centers and electrification of vehicles and appliances are expected to double electric demand within a decade. The line would stretch 115 miles from Campbell County to Culpeper County and could cost around $1 billion. Dominion has not yet filed specific plans for the project with state regulators, but will begin holding open houses in affected counties next month. For a third consecutive year, Virginia lawmakers have passed legislation to create a legal, regulated marketplace for recreational cannabis, with proponents optimistic for approval by Governor Abigail Spanberger. According to the Times-Dispatch, following previous vetoes by former Governor Glenn Youngkin, the new bill aims to replace an illicit market characterized by unsafe products and high crime, with 350 licensed retail stores. The House and Senate are currently reconciling differences on tax rates and a launch date, which could range from late 2026 to early 2027. This week was a key deadline for all legislation under consideration in the General Assembly, and Michael Pope tells us about a key labor bill that failed to meet the deadline.
Virginia's right-to-work law was signed in 1947 by Governor Bill Tuck, a Democrat from Halifax County. Ever since that time, employers have been prohibited from forcing employees to join a union. Senator Jennifer Carroll Foy is a Democrat from Prince William County who introduced legislation to repeal the right-to-work law. But senators rejected that bill by failing to ever consider it, essentially forcing it to miss a key deadline this week.
So it's really unfortunate that the bill to repeal the so-called right to work died in darkness, and it wasn't brought forth in the Commerce and Labor Committee for a full hearing. I believe that if Virginians were allowed to have their voices heard, that it may have been successful.
Virginia Diamond is president of the Northern Virginia Labor Federation, and she's confident Democrats will eventually get rid of what she calls an anti-union law.
It's definitely going to happen. You can't have a trifecta of Democrats and go 4 years and not grant private sector workers the right to collectively bargain.
A similar bill in the House of Delegates failed 6 years ago under similar circumstances. The Democrats who controlled the House at the time failed to ever put it on the calendar, and so it was never considered. As a result, none of the Democrats in the General Assembly have a voting record on this issue. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
The Harrisonburg City and Rockingham County School Boards met earlier this week to begin the formal process of dissolving their partnership to operate Massanutten Technical Center. The Citizen reports that this was the first meeting between the two districts' leaders since the Harrisonburg City School Board voted to end the partnership last summer. The decision followed a months-long feud between the two boards over control of the vocational school. Despite a series of tense exchanges between the boards last year, the members had an amicable meeting on Monday night. They voted to keep County Member Jackie Lohr and City Member Andy Cohen as MTC's chair and vice chair, respectively, through the end of the partnership. The 60-year agreement between the HCPS and RCPS boards will conclude at the end of the 2026-2027 school year. Proposals that would create a right to repair in Virginia failed at the General Assembly this year. Patrick Larson with Partner Station VPM News explains.
The right to repair is basically what it sounds like, the legal right for consumers to fix and maintain products like cars, video game consoles, and farm machinery. It's been a hot topic in recent years, as more products include proprietary software and digital components, and as manufacturers have limited how consumers can get repairs. The issue caught the attention of Norfolk delegate Jackie Glass.
All of these different things where by manufacturers or companies were ensuring that you had to buy new things, that you couldn't fix your own things.
She argues that contributes to waste when some things could be reused or recycled, and it puts strain on consumers' wallets. But after weeks of negotiating exemptions for trade secrets and safety concerns, Glass had to pull the bill. She couldn't come to agreements with enough manufacturers for it to work. Another bill sponsored by Montgomery delegate Lily Franklin suffered the same fate. Patrick Larson, VPM News.
Anna Sira Veterinary Center in Harrisonburg has received a $25,000 ASPCA grant to fund its Pit Fix program, offering free spay and neuter surgeries specifically for pit bulls and mixes. According to WHSV, this initiative aims to reduce shelter overrepresentation for these breeds and alleviate financial burdens on pet owners. The spay and neuter surgeries will be free through the end of the year or until all the grant funds are allocated. For WMRA News, I'm Matt Bingay. Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.